produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
One of the things we try to do in these special presentations of music is to reach back to our past and touch that which was most tender and cherished to us. As I said last night, so many of our saints, and as God told me to remind the saints of hope, so many of the sweet saints that taught us, and some of them are here who helped raise me, some of them are in heaven, most of them have gone to heaven. I have no living pastors of my, all of the former pastors who raised me. There's an element that are still in the church who don't understand quite where we're going yet. They came out of Egypt in their minds, and they wandered in the wilderness, and they looked forward to Jordan, but they came out of Egypt, but they still got a little Egypt in their thinking. That slavery mentality is there. They know how to endure. They know how to wander in the wilderness and enjoy miracles of endurance, but they've not known miracles of conquest. But they're sweet saints. They're the ones that prayed us through. And so the Lord said, remind them of the hope. Some of them are just confused and disoriented. They don't even understand the music. They don't understand a lot of the things that have happened, that have changed, that are not what they are comfortable with. But they love Jesus with all their heart. And He loves them. And I love them too. Their grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and mamas and daddies. And some of them are going to some little church they've been going to 40 years and ain't nobody there but them and 40 people. But that's all they know. But they're still the saints. And they still need to be reminded of a little bit of hope. One of those ladies is in heaven now. Her name was Pearl Jones. She was another one of them sweet, mean ones. She always frowned and fussed. In testimony service, she would never really testify. After she got through singing, she'd say, God give me that song when I was first saved. That's all she'd say. God give me that song when I was first saved. But she could sing it under the anointing. It's an old song titled, Shine On Me. You ever heard it? I'm going to ask Bishop Morton to help me with it in a little bit. Sing the verse. He's one of them old-time preachers, too. He got young and old in him. It's Bishop Paul Morton's brother, but this is Bishop James Morton from Atlanta. But the song goes like this. Shine on me. If you know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it. I heard the
voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey.
to me.
To me. Come on, Bishop.
And
you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. In just a little while, let's go back up to verse number 2. I'll read that first word, something from NIV. It was from the King James. They say, and then suddenly. But verse 2 says, suddenly. That's what I want to talk about just for a little while. Let your neighbor say, neighbor, suddenly. Y'all may be seeing the presence of our Lord. Pentecost Sunday. Growing up in the Baptist church, didn't talk about Pentecost Sunday because it was too cogent. Thought it was too Pentecostal. I didn't learn really about Pentecost Sunday until I got older. And then I understood that Pentecost Sunday does not belong to one denominational body. It belongs to the church. Because it is the church's birthday. It is when the church really got moving in action. And the thing that I love about a good birthday celebration is that I'm gonna use double negatives. I know my correct grammar, but y'all want y'all to understand what I'm about to say. Don't nobody want anybody to come to a party that's a dead party. The worst kind of birthday celebration to go to is one that's dead. And the crazy thing that bothers me is that you don't want to go to a birthday party that's dead, but some folks are satisfied with going to a dead church. Can I say it one more time? It's funny how we'll go to a basketball game, make noise, be excited, cheer for our team, have passion for our team, but yet we come to church and have no fear. You having a birthday party, it's a milestone. Because you don't have a party every year, right? But if it's your 40th, if it's your 50th, if it's your 60th, if it's your 70th, if it's your 13th, if it's your sweet 16th, if it's your 18th, if you can remember your 21st, if it's your 25th, if it's your 30th, you want to have a celebration that is exciting and celebratory. And you don't want anybody that's going to come to your party that's a Debbie Downer. You may have a DJ. You may have tracks. You have some good food. You have a good time. not going to do over. What are you going to do? Is that we can celebrate life, celebrate a team that makes us feel good, celebrate the birth of our children who make us and give us smiles on our faces. But when it comes to celebrating your God, you put restrictions on it. Not even realizing that God gave you life in first place. And especially if you're going to celebrate your life and you're going to make a good time and celebrate it and be noisy and turn up, why can't you give the one who gave you life the same kind of joy that you give yourself? And that's what's happening here today. That this is a celebration. This is a time where we can be able to come together as a church and thank God for what the Lord has done. Because the Lord has given us something that I don't think we truly understand who and what it is. That you say Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, folks don't know. They just say it's just, you know, the thing that's around. It's the third member of the Trinity that we really cannot really explain. It's not meant really to be explained. The Holy Spirit is meant to be felt. It's meant to be heard. What is it? I'm glad you asked. Luke helps us this with us this on this morning because Luke is writing a letter that is a continuation letter. Literally, it's two parts. Luke Acts is literally two parts to one letter. That Luke ends with Jesus being raised from the dead. Now, how does Jesus get up from the dead? God raises Jesus up from the dead. How does God do it? I'm glad you asked. God sends his Spirit to come and resurrect Jesus from the dead. Oh, what you mean, Reverend? Is that the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is that authority, is that power that raised Jesus from the dead. What are you trying to say? Is that the Holy Ghost, first of all, operates in resurrection power. What do you mean? Is that the Holy Spirit can look at something or someone who is dead and be able to bring them back to life? What do you mean, Reverend? Is that I'm not talking about just you laying here in front of me. No, no, I'm talking about spiritually dead. Dead on the inside because you're messing with dead things. You're messing with people with dead mindsets. I'm talking about how you go and assassinate people with your mouth. I'm talking about how you deal things to people that cause toxins to come into their bodies. I'm talking about the kind of dead mindset that will be able to bring death and destruction to other people. And if you all be in here, you ought to be glad to know that the resurrection power does not end with Jesus, but he raised all of us. When God saved you, he raised you. That's the reason why I love that song that says that, hey, it says that he saved me and he raised me, which means, my brothers and my sisters, that when God saved you, he raised you to new life. And am I talking to anybody in here that's glad to know that you died to your old life, but Christ has raised you up to a new life? That's the Holy Spirit, first of all, operates in resurrection power. That is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the same Spirit that is in Christ. And then he goes about being able to do what he does for 40 days. He appears to his disciples for 40 days, appearing to them, showing himself to them, proving that he is alive and well. But he tells them, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm about to leave, but don't you leave. Because y'all know how it is. No shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Come on, hello, somebody. Don't act like you ain't never seen a church without a pastor and then everybody just But Jesus tells another good shepherd, don't leave him. Because something is going to happen to you and for you that you're going to need what you're about to do next. Don't leave until you get. Don't operate without it. Matter of fact, you won't be able to do what I need you to do without it. And I'm glad on today that you came into the temple on today. And I'm glad that you come every single Sunday. Because what you're saying when you come every single Sunday is that you know you need to get something from God in order to be able to deal with what you got to face. Am I talking to anybody in here that thanks God for Sunday morning? That God has a way of giving you what you need. God has a way of giving you the peace. God has a way of giving you the patience. God has the way to give you the wherewithal. God has the way to give you the strength to be able to endure what you're going to face in that on Monday. Matter of fact, I'm talking to some folks who say it won't even just be Monday. I'm talking about Sunday. Soon I leave out this door. Because then I got to go to my house and deal with Negroes who ain't been to church. Negroes who all want to come there and get money from me, but yet still don't want to give me no love and still won't call me. I'm talking to the folk who said that I need church. I need to come in here because I need to get something from God that I can only get coming in here. Cannot function, is what Jesus said. Wait until you get it. And you'll know when you get it. Because you'll be baptized. Baptism literally means to be immersed in. Which means it's going to come over you and it's going to flood you. It's going to be so much on you that you will know exactly who and what it is. So I'm glad today. They waited. Anyway. 10 days after Jesus catches a cloud and goes to heaven. They're in prayer for 10 days straight. They're praying constantly and asking God for some direction. And I love it because they demonstrate for us what we should be doing. Is that Jesus, as long as Jesus was there, they had no need really to talk to anybody. They had no need to fast. But now that Jesus isn't there, they've got to get connected back because they've been using Jesus as the means by which they can be able to communicate to God. They've been talking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, but now Jesus is in heaven, and so now they got to beef up their prayer life. And I'm talking to somebody here today that's what you need to do. That you don't have Jesus physically around, mama is not around. For some of y'all, Jesus has been mama. Mama's been the one who's been praying for you. Mama has been the one that's been providing for you. Mama's been the one who's been bailing you out. Daddy's been the one who's been your Jesus. But guess what? Mom and daddy will leave you. Brother and sister will leave you. You need to be able to have your own relationship with God. And the best way to start it is to beef up your prayer life. And your prayers don't have to always be complicated. They can just simply be, Lord, have mercy. They can just be, Lord, help. They can just be, Lord, don't you see me? They can be just simply, Lord, you know. I'm talking to some folk in here today who had to put out some Lord, you know prayers. That you can't even get out all of what you're going through. You can't get out all of your pain. You can't get out all of your grief. But all you can say is, Lord, help. And is there anybody in the building on today that knows that when you just call on him, he will show up? I just need about two witnesses in the building who don't mind putting their hands together. I need about two more who don't mind raising their hand to be able to say, Reverend, that's me. That I don't have to say a lot, but all I can just say is, Lord, you know. Lord, help. Lord, make a way. Lord, step in. Lord, make my children act right. Lord, calm the situation. Lord, still the storm. Lord, just step in. You got to beef up the prayer line. Prayer life's got to be beefed up. Sometimes the short ones are the most powerful and effective ones. Because they're the ones that don't have a whole lot of frill. Lord don't need you to talk about you knee bending body down. He sees you. He sees your posture. Just tell him what you want. That's what they're doing. They're praying constantly, asking God to step in and do something, show us direction. And the Bible says Pentecost shows up. Now, Pentecost is one of the three great feasts of the Hebrew people. The Jewish men had to appear at three feasts, I told you. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Pentecost, they would show up. They would come celebrate the harvest, the ingathering of the harvest, celebrate the fall. And it was on Pentecost. Now, cool thing about Pentecost is that Pentecost is on a Sunday. So the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Bible says, on that day, they were all together in one place. They went on one accord. Don't miss that. That's a musical term. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And the Bible says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. I love the word suddenly, because suddenly means they weren't expecting. Suddenly means that it came unannounced. Suddenly means that it caught you like a deer in headlights. Suddenly means that you didn't have time to really react. Suddenly means that it happened in an instant. And don't you know, my brothers and my sisters, that that's the way that God operates a lot of times, is that a lot of times we want God to bring us out and we want God to do it, but then when God does it, suddenly you got a problem, because when he does it suddenly, you don't have time to react. But can I be honest with y'all? I'm glad the Lord does something suddenly, because sometimes I talk myself out of what I really need. Am I talking to anybody in here that can be grateful on today that God has a way of doing things suddenly, even when you least expect it, even when you're not expecting it? And you ought to be grateful that he does it suddenly, because sometimes we always want to hold on to stuff. Oh Lord, he's going to change. Lord, it's going to work out. I know I told you, change my life and change my situation and change the Negro around me. But Lord, he's getting better. He opened up his Bible today. Lord, it'll get better, Lord. I know it'll get better. Lord said, no, I got to do it suddenly so you won't expect it, because I know what's best for you. Does it suddenly. Then it says, it's a violent. Your King James says a rushing mighty. But it says a violent wind. Why would the Lord send something violent? Make a violent sound. Why violent? Because violence, the violent wind disturbs what's around. It shakes up whatever it hits. What do you mean, Reverend? Violence draws attention. How you know that? Because we watch the news every night. The movies we go to, our country loves violence. And I feel like our city is starting to have a love affair with violence. That we got kids who embrace the culture and think it's cool to be from a city that kills at an alarming rate. The news is obsessed with violence. That's the reason why y'all keep watching, because their ratings keep improving. I keep saying the only way that we can be able to change this city, and this is what even in here, the only way we can really change this city is to change what we are putting out about the city. If all we lift up and teach our children and show our children is a whole bunch of killing and murdering and drug dealing and all this other stuff, what you think they think is the only thing they should do? What do you think for people? What do you think that does for our mindset, for us to constantly keep thinking that we the murder cat? And we say it like it's a great stat. We brag on it almost. But violence gets the attention. But see, you got to understand something. That God sent the violent storm, sent the violent wind into the house, not just for those who are in the house, but it's to draw the attention of those outside of the house. And sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, don't think that what God does to you is just for you. But a lot of times what God does to you is to be able to show somebody else who's around you. Oh, I ought to have some people in the building on today who can be able to say that that's your situation, that God did something for you and did something to you, but it affected the people around you. What you mean is that God did something for you, that you got sick, and there were people around you who didn't believe in the power of what God could do, but then all of a sudden they see that God can heal you. And when they see that God has healed you, when they see that God has brought you from the same situation they were in, now they can be able to say, oh, I can trust that God, if he did it for them, then I know he'll do it for me. And I ought to have some people in the building who can be able to say, that's me, Reverend, that I saw how God blessed folk around me. I saw God delivered people around me. I saw how God saved people around me. And it made me be able to say, I can trust him, that if he did it for Mama, if he did it for Junebug, then I know he can do it for. Some stuff is not just for you. Folks around you. Because the sound came in the house, but it drew a crowd. The Bible says, the wind came, which is the sign of the Spirit. It is the Ruach, the breath of God. So that's literally what the Spirit is. It's the breath of God. God sends it in the house. Now, mind you, they're in the house. But what you learn in Acts chapter 1 is that they are staying in a room. So they're literally staying in a room in the house. And here it is. They're all in the room in the house. And the Spirit comes into the house because of what's going on in the room. Can I say it one more? Okay, let me sell it down. I'm putting the game down, flip it in reverse. Okay, here we go. So, what goes on in the room is that they are praying in the room. They are meeting in the room. They are seeking God in the room. But then the Spirit comes in into the house. Now, mind you, what goes on in the room affects the house. Oh, what are you trying to say? Is that my brothers and my sisters, you ain't got to pray all over your house. Just pray in one room in your house. Find one closet in your house. And it ought to be somebody who can be able to say that if I start in one closet, then I know that God is big enough that he'll go to Johnny's room. He'll go to Susan's room. He'll go in the kitchen. He'll keep the cupboards fed. He'll be able to keep clothes in the closet. He'll be able to keep the lights working. He'll be able to keep the air conditioner on. He'll be able to help me pay this mortgage. Yeah, am I talking to anybody in the building who can know that if you just start in a room, God will bless the house? Start in a room and watch him bless the house. And what happens in the room, watch this, affects the house. But then what goes on in the house affects what's outside the house. Missionaries, realize y'all's work starts at home. Your work starts here when you meet on Wednesdays downstairs in the room. And what you do down there in the fellowship hall blesses this house. But then what you do when you bless this house is going to affect what goes on out the house. And don't you know God does the same thing for your own personal life? Is that when you start in the room, you can bless the house. Then whatever happens in the house now can be a blessing to somebody else. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that watch what God does. That if you start in your room or in your closet praying for your children, and then God raises your children to be successful, raises your children in the admonition of the Lord, and they become Christians. Now, look what happened. Is that now you raise productive citizens to go outside of the house to be a blessing to the streets. Y'all can't tell me that's not how God works. Here we go. I'm almost done. Suddenly. Not only is the wind, but now here comes fire. Tongues of fire rest on each one of them. Now here's the thing, I love it, that it starts as one tongue, but then it separates. And a tongue rests on each one of the people, which means not everybody is doing the same thing. Not everybody is speaking the same language. Okay, I hope y'all get this. Not everybody is doing the exact same thing. But what happens is is that the Spirit gives you a tongue, and now the people who you speaking to can understand. Then the Spirit gives you a tongue, and now they can understand what you're saying. Then the Spirit gives him a tongue, and now they understand what you're saying. And so what God does is that he says that let me be able to look at this thing multifaceted. Let me give everybody what they need in order to be successful. Which means, my brothers and my sisters, not everybody's going to have the same gift. Not everybody's going to be able to reach the same people. Not everybody's going to be able to do the same thing. That some people are better at evangelism. Some people are better at person-to-person contact. Some people are better at keeping records. Some people are better about going door-to-door and meeting people. Some people are good at just being security and making sure that things are covered. Some people are good at this. Some people are good at that. But look what God does is that God uses all of it for his benefit. Your tongue is not my tongue. Your people who God has blessed you to speak to are not my people. That's the reason why I tell pastors, you can't pastor everybody's church. Because that's not the house that you were set upon. That's not the tongue that you were given. Your tongue is for South Memphis, mine is for North. So keep your tongue in South Memphis and let my tongue stay in North. And all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. Now here's the thing, and I'm done. Give me two more points and I'm done. So I love how God operates, right? That mind you, they're all on one accord. Okay? That's a musical term. Literally meaning that all different instruments, but they all playing on the same sheet. So you got different instruments, but they all playing in different sheets. They all playing on the same sheet, which means the woodwinds, your brass, you got your percussion, you got your keys, you got your strings. All of them are all ready to do and whatever, play whatever they can, but they not all going to sound the same, but they all going to sound harmonious. So what do you mean, Reverend? Is that that's the beautiful thing of what God did, is that, watch this, is that even though everybody is speaking a different tongue, God still doesn't allow for confusion to happen. What you mean, Reverend, is that, watch this, is that the Bible says in verse 5, 6, and 7 that there were groups of people there who were from different parts of the world, and every single one of them can hear the name of God in their own language. But nobody said that they couldn't hear theirs because somebody else was too loud. What you mean, Reverend, is that God does not operate in confusion. God operates in order. And when God operates in order, sometimes the order may not look and sound great to you. But guess what? God has a way of bringing together everybody and everything at the same time to be able to reach everybody. Which means, watch this, is that sometimes that the word may not be for you. The word may be for somebody young. That's the reason why I got to speak in a tongue of hip hop so that they can understand. Then I got to go and speak to you in a tongue of blues so that you can understand. But guess what? Bobby Blue Bland and Moneybagg Yo can both be in same existence. I can still be able to talk about having aches and pains, just like I can still be able to talk about mental issues. Why? Because God is able to give order to everything and everybody so that everybody can be able to get the word, be fed from the word, and be filled by the word. And then, bring on. I love it. That is a Sunday moment. And I'll be honest with y'all. Sundays are wonderful. But Sundays can be kind of tough. Sundays, it always seems like the devil gets busy at my house on Sunday. Am I talking to anybody in the building? Sundays, as much as you try to prepare on Saturday, it seems like the devil tries to do whatever he can to stop you from getting to church. I'm just talking about me on this morning. That I had a rough morning this morning. It was tough getting to church this morning. I can just talk about me. Can I talk about me for a minute? Because normally I get my hair cut on a Saturday. But then my barber texts me on Saturday. Said he's got to go and do a run down at the river. So now I got to get my hair cut early Sunday morning. Oh, that threw me off. Because I know Billy's not feeling all up the part like that. But she said she could get the kids together for church. And I said, okay, fine, I'm going to go. And when I come back, nobody's ready. And it's not her fault. It's just one of those kind of Sunday morning. Then, lo and behold, I got to get the kids together. One don't want to wear this. One can't find his shoe. Oh, I'm mad. Because I got to try and get myself together. Try and get them out the house. And one of them got the nerve to say, I'm late for Sunday school. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I'm driving and finally get in the car. We get in the car, we headed to church. And I'm just seething with anger. And I'm mad because we late. And then too, it's Pentecost Sunday, which is one of my favorite Sundays in the whole year. And I'm mad because we gonna be late. I'm mad because they're not wearing what I want them to wear. And lo and behold, I called Pastor Quinn Dickerson, who I talk to every single Sunday morning. And I tell him, he's like, man, what's wrong? I said, man, it's my favorite Sunday after Easter. And I'm frustrated because there ain't nothing going right that should be going right. And I'm glad to have a friend like Pastor Quinn. Because he stopped and said, let's pray right now. Because you got to go preach to your folk. And you can't go preaching mad at the word. And don't you know that after he got done praying, I felt a change. And guess what, y'all? Guess how it happened? Suddenly. And I'm not talking to anybody in the building that can be give God some praise. That on a Sunday morning, God has a way of not waiting, but he'll show up suddenly. I'm glad this morning that when I read this text, that they were having the Holy Ghost in the house. Y'all got to understand something. They hadn't even made it to the temple, but they had the Holy Ghost before they even got there. They don't get to the temple to the end of chapter 2, but before they get to the temple, they already filled with the Holy Ghost. And am I talking to anybody in here that can say, I came this morning because I need to feel the Holy Ghost. I need him to move on my situation. I need him to turn me around. Am I talking to anybody in here that knows you need God not to move on Monday, not to turn it around on Tuesday, not to work it out on Wednesday, not to throw it down on Thursday, not to figure it out on Friday, not to slightly make it happen on Saturday, but I came today on a Sunday morning. I need God to come in suddenly, shake up some stuff, turn some stuff, move some stuff, move the mindset, turn my heart. Am I talking to myself? I know it's some old folk that came in here up all your situation. I only got one question. For those who tried it, for those who know he'll work it out, I only got one question. For those who don't mind sharing their testimony, y'all ready for my one question? I just got one thing. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? I'd have everybody in the building that's ever tried it. Won't he turn it? Won't he move? Won't he give you joy? Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't he do it? Say yeah! Yeah!
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.